Hello, and welcome to worship at Second Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. We love to share the word to everyone that God is love, that Christ is for all, and no matter what, that God's Spirit is here now. We hope you enjoy today's worship service. As always, you can join us every Sunday for our live stream or find more information about worship online at secondb.org. If you would like to submit a prayer request, you may do so just by emailing us at prayer@secondb.org. And also, if we can ever help you learn more about Second B or find a place to connect, maybe even join Second B, don't ever hesitate to email our pastoral team anytime, day or night, at pastors@secondb.org. Also, if you're a visitor today, we would love to learn more about you, and you can do so very easily just by going to our website at www.secondb.org, and the second is spelled out, /visitors. Once there, you'll find a quick form to fill out. Shouldn't take you more than a minute, but it'll give us a wealth of information to help you learn more about Second B and help us see how we can help you become part of our family. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. We feel so blessed to have you a part of the Second B family today. God bless.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. It is a delight to be here with all of you, wherever you are tuning in from. I hope that you're comfortable and ready for worship today. We are excited to be in worship together. Y'all, I encourage you to check out the email that comes from Darcy Gray each week. The Second Helping has lots of information. We have lots going on over the next 2 weeks, starting with our church conference this Wednesday night. I know that you're going to want to tune in for the Zoom service on Wednesday night as we go over all kinds of great information that you're going to get from the VLT and from Jake. So tune in at 5:45. The Zoom link is found here in your Second Helping and in the email that also comes out every week. Also, on February the 17th, we will be having a drive-in service for Ash Wednesday. There's information about that in your email as well. And then 2 weeks from today, we will be opening up the doors once again for in-person worship as well as live streaming at 10:45. So we invite you to join us whichever way you are most comfortable and most safe for you and your family to be in worship with us. So we are excited about all of these opportunities coming up over the next few weeks. Friends, it's always an honor to be with you and in any way that we can. And so thank you so much for being here with us today. Let's take a moment to prepare ourselves for worship. The Lord be with you. How good it is to sing praises to our God.
He heals the brokenhearted, binding up their wounds.
He counts the stars and calls them each by name.
How great is our God! His power is abundant and his understanding beyond comprehension.
So come, sing out your thanksgiving to God. Offer to God the worship that belongs to him alone.
Praise the Lord. We invite you to continue to worship and stand in spirit or in stature wherever and however you may be.
Creator bless and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, hallelujah, praise. Blessed are you, Lord God, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. The victory and the majesty is yours. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Amen.
For children's time. This time is for y'all. I hope that you are doing well and have had a super great week and enjoyed the great weather that we had this weekend. I was driving to work today, friends, and as I was driving, I promise I was being cautious on the road, but I was also kind of looking up and noticing all these birds flying above me, especially as I drive down Slide Road, and so there's a pond kind of nearby, and so there's a lot of geese that fly and land in the pond, and there were tons of little birds hanging out in the trees, and as they were flying, their wings were just flapping so fast, and they never seemed to stop until they got right before they landed on the branch, and then they would soar and glide right into the branch, and then rest for a while. I was thinking about this as I was driving because our scripture reading today has this most beautiful, it's one of my very favorite verses in all of the Bible. And at the very end of our scripture reading in Isaiah 40, it says, "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And I was thinking as I'm watching these birds, how different they are from the eagle and how important it is that it's mentioned in this scripture that you shall mount up on wings like eagles. Because boys and girls, if you've ever seen an eagle fly, and if you haven't, after this children's time and after the service, I encourage you to look on your tablets that you all have and look it up in YouTube, and you will see these eagles. And as they fly, they rarely ever flap their wings. They just soar higher than the other birds, sometimes as high as airplanes, and they are the most majestic, most beautiful looking creatures up in the sky. And they fly for long periods of time, and then they land in these massive, beautiful nests that they have. So I was thinking, why do you think in this scripture it says mount up on wings like eagles? Because they're different from the other birds. They don't have to flap their wings as much when they fly because they capture the wind current that helps them. And I am not a scientist, so I am not going to say this right. I know it. But I know there's something really cool about the wind that helps these eagles soar for long periods of time. And it lifts them up and keeps them stronger and gives them power to fly even longer. And I was thinking, maybe there's a reason it says this in our scripture, boys and girls, because that wind, to me, in my brain, is kind of like God and the Holy Spirit. And if we invite God into our lives and we have God and the power of God help support us when we are tired and when we are frustrated and when things are bothering you, we can think back to some of our Sunday school lessons that we've heard. We can look in those first grade Bibles if you've ever gotten them, or listen to Pastor Jake when he preaches, and think about all of the scriptures in the Bible and the power and the love of God to sustain you and to help you go on further and to soar even higher and higher and be stronger. Isn't it a beautiful analogy? I think that this is put in here exactly for us. And as I watch you guys grow and learn and fly farther and soar further and higher, you guys are learning all of your scriptures and all of your Bible verses. And I'm so proud of you. And I hope that you will continue to learn and to listen and to read so that you can be like the eagles in this scripture. Boys and girls and families, let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for the wind. We thank you for the strength and the power that comes from the wind and that comes from you to help us sustain ourselves and to go on further and further and to be stronger. God, we ask that you guide us when things are not going our way and when we feel weary and faint, like we're not going to be able to take another step. We ask that you just breathe your life into each and every one of us and give us the strength to go just a little bit farther and to be just a little bit better. For all of that comes from you and from your love. Lord, bless this church and bless these families and help us to do your work here in this city and in this community. It is in your most holy name that we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 23 and 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me for each word of each hymn and song of praise, for each note in our scriptures, for each word of a children's message. We give thanks to you, O God. And now we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that they would be pleasing to you, that they would be encouraging to the body, and we are reminded that each of us longs for that which words cannot accomplish. Each of us longs for your grace, which is much deeper and much truer than anything we can say or sing. And so may your presence, may your healing, your hope, and your grace be with us. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. Brothers and sisters and friends, it is an honor, a joy to worship with you. There is a big football game today. A big football game today, and Lainey and I woke up at 6 a.m. to watch it. Tottenham beating West Brom 2-0. What football game were you thinking of? We needed a win. Tottenham needed a win. It has been a while since Tottenham won. Is it Tom Brady or is it Patrick Mahomes that sit at the edge of the circle of the earth? Yeah. Our scripture says, no, it is the Lord who is enthroned above the circle of the earth. Which makes me smile. Which makes me laugh. Which makes me sort of look down upon our spiritual ancestors who thought the earth was flat, who thought the earth was at the center of the universe, who thought the sphere of this creation, this rock that we walk upon, was the largest imaginable created object. Don't we know so much more? Aren't we so smart? Yeah, we know, don't we, that the universe is at least maybe 13 billion years old. We know that the size of the universe is approximately 46 billion light years in radius. And the Lord, the scripture says, sits enthroned above the sphere. And I love I love to imagine our children's children who will one day think, oh, our silly spiritual ancestors who used to think that the universe was only 46 billion light years in radius. Aren't we so smart that we now know that it is much bigger and much more complex than that? And it is the Lord who sits enthroned the circle of the universe, and the inhabitants are grasshoppers. Yeah. Do you receive the encouragement of Scripture today, my brothers and sisters and friends? As God is enthroned upon high, we are but grasshoppers. May you be edified by the word of God. Grasshoppers. Isaiah says, the Lord dwells, Yoshev. Isaiah says also that the grasshoppers indwell, Yoshivaha. Yeah. The scripture says that the Lord is enthroned upon the circle, the chug. Please forgive my Hebrew. You've heard awful Hebrew. You've heard awful French. You've heard awful Spanish. You're welcome. The Lord sits enthroned above the circle, the chud, and we are here, the chavim. Yeah, it's poetry. And all of this poetry is suggesting that our reality is deeply connected to the reality of God who is enthroned upon high. Rabbi Laura Duhon Kaplan, professor of theology at Vancouver School of Theology in Canada, says, the grasshoppers don't think of themselves as small. To be called a grasshopper here by Isaiah is not a word of discouragement, but rather a word of encouragement. We are but grasshoppers, and grasshoppers are the perfect size to jump. They're the perfect size to jump. Might as well jump. Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. Yeah, jump. For those of you thinking of other cultural references, when I say grasshopper, okay, you may be thinking of the television show Kung Fu. I would submit to you that Karate Kid number one is far greater. Grasshoppers are the perfect size to jump. They do not think of themselves as small. Further, mystic and cultural anthropologist Avia Vinfica says this, that the divine is always seeking to communicate with us. Always the divine is seeking to communicate. And the primary language that God uses to communicate with us is symbolism. All of language, all of reality is at some level symbolic. And this is the way that God chooses to communicate. And our native brothers and sisters, our Eastern brothers and sisters, hold the grasshopper as deeply symbolic. And in fact, it is our native brothers and sisters and our Eastern brothers and sisters who are often have a worldview much similar, much closer to our Hebrew scriptures. And this is the symbolism in native culture for the grasshopper. The grasshopper is lucky, stable, virtuous, vibrant, content, intuitive, fertile, patient, peaceful, creative, abundant, insightful, a messenger. That grasshoppers are connected, courageous, resourceful, forward-thinking. And if this is what grasshoppers are, count me in. Count me in. Hear my paraphrase of the words of Isaiah. The Lord is enthroned, and you be the grasshopper. Just be the grasshopper. In Numbers 13, the congregation of Israel, having been delivered out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, have journeyed for a generation through the desert, and they come upon the boundary of the promised land, the gift that God has intended to give to these people. And God says, Moses, send some spies into the land, for I want you to see how incredible this land is that I desire to give to you. And so Moses does. Moses sends some scouts into the land, and for 40 days, these scouts venture about the land. And after 40 days, they return, and they indeed report to all of the community, all of the congregation of Israel gathered, and they say, the land is as good. It is flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord has promised. They say, look at these grapes. Look at these figs. Look at these grapefruit and how big and wonderful they are. And also, are the inhabitants of those in the land are also large. For we are like grasshoppers next to them. We are like grasshoppers next to them. And at this, the congregation begins to wail and complain, saying, why didn't the Lord just leave us in Egypt? And as you well know, it is that generation, because of lack of faith, because of an insistence to compare themselves to others, did not allow for themselves to enter into the promised land. In our scriptures in 1 Timothy 4, it says, do not let others look down upon you because you are young. Let me offer another paraphrase. It is good to be small. Be the grasshopper. Be the grasshopper. My hero, John Muir, says, the grasshopper is a jolly fellow. How high can the grasshopper go up the mountain? I do not know, but at least as far as the tourist. The grasshopper goes at least as far as the tourist. Are we willing to jump? To jump high enough to glimpse beyond our own? Are we willing to go further than those who are just visiting? Are we willing to go as far as the promises of God? Yeah, be the grasshopper. There is something that has happened in our lives, in our family. There is something that has happened in this community and in this world. Our Hope class has delivered thousands of packages over the last 11 months, just packages of care and hope and prayer to various members of our congregation. And for those of you who have received this, we join you in giving thanks for our Hopesters who have been so faithful to serve and to just be a small blessing. We give thanks to God for you. I was reminded recently of an incredible reality taking place in this moment in which we live. A friend of ours received a care package. Just a simple thing dropped on the front door, ring the doorbell, and this person who gave this gift there at the front door on the front porch left. And as you can imagine, having heard the doorbell ring, one of our friends came to receive, to find this wonderful, gentle, simple gift on the front porch. And naturally, this one who had received the simple gift decided to respond by writing a thank you note. And just wrote a thank you note. Thank you, as she wrote, for dropping off this nice, simple, thoughtful gift. Thank you. And she mailed that thank you note to the person who had given the gift. And about a week later, this is the world we live in, okay? About a week later, our friend received a thank you note for sending a thank you note. Yeah. It is good to be small. And it is during these last 11 months that at least maybe we have all been reminded of that which is small is so good. It is the little things. It is thank you notes for thank you notes. It is the little things. Yeah. And I want to be just completely transparent with you about our family. And this is not for the purposes so that you will feel or emote a certain way about our family. But I think our family is at least representative of many of the things that have been going on in maybe in your world and in your family. Allison and I would say that we're okay. We wouldn't say that we're great. It hasn't been a great 11 months. Particularly when the pandemic became a reality, we took seriously the opportunity and responsibility to give Allison the safest possible pregnancy, to guard our children's health as much as we could, just like you made the decisions that were best for your family. Yeah. Everyone around us is making the decisions that are best for them. Yeah. We've all been doing this, learning this, practicing. Even if it looks different, we've all been adjusting, right? Yeah. And because of this, our family has experienced isolation, just like you have. Our family, just like many of you, we've experienced loss of relationship. Grandparents who've never met their granddaughter. We experienced loss of relationship. We have friends who we have not encountered. We have no shared experiences with some of the friends that we hold most dear in our lives. We have lost people in the last 11 months. Yeah. There's been loss of there's been loss of opportunity. There's been loss of movement. All of us, in some regard, have experienced a lack. Whether or not you think we've overreacted, whether or not you think we've underreacted, there has been lack. There has been loss. And I believe the ministry of the church, I believe that we are called to be witnesses to the healing of Christ. Witnesses. We are not the healers. And so often I feel as though in our anxiety, the church tries to fix problems. We want to fix the loss. We want to fix the lack. And that's not our job. We're not the saviors. We're not the healers. We are not the one who is enthroned above the circle. We are but the grasshopper. And what does the grasshopper do? What is the ministry of the church? To be a witness, I believe, paraphrase, is to validate. To be in ministry with Christ is simply to validate. And I would like to suggest to you two words, two almost words that I believe may be some of the most spiritually validating, spiritually healing words for us during this time. Spelled M-M-M-M. Yeah. Y-A. Say that, would you? Say, yeah. Someone is sharing their heart. Someone is sharing their lack. Someone is sharing their loss. Someone is being vulnerable. Yeah. Yeah. It is enough grace to simply validate. It is these little words. It is these little things that I believe represent the great ministry of the one who is enthroned above the circle. This week, I had a rather pedestrian pastoral visit to a member of our congregation who has recently had their second shot. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And this person has not been a part of our church for decades and decades and decades. They are a wonderful, simple, beautiful follower of Christ. And after visiting with this person and making a few side bets on the Super Bowl, we paused to pray together. And this person began to ask me about so-and-so in our church. This person began to ask me about so-and-so in our church. This person began to ask me about so-and-so in our church. This person began to tell me things about so-and-so in our church that I didn't know. And even though some people around here call me pastor, I was again reminded that you are the church. And that you all are the ones who are so interconnected in the lives of one another. Yeah, we are in this thing together. I don't know all the things. Yeah. So we prayed together. And I stood to leave. And as I stood to leave, I was struck there by the chair where maybe some of you keep old newspapers and magazines. This person had a worn and weathered, tattered copy of the Second Baptist Church directory. Yeah. Do you want a directory? Call up here, email up here, we'll send you a directory. This one, like a grasshopper to a leaf, prayed over this directory. And as our souls and our hearts and our minds are worn and weathered from this thing, it is the little things. It is the little things, like praying over the names and the faces, that remind us that it is the Lord who is enthroned upon high. Yeah. similar to Pastor Cheryl's nuance, I also am not a scientist. Isn't that a shocker? And as I understand, for a long time, the origin of migratory locusts was a bit of a scientific enigma. That is, until 20th century Russian biologists discovered that during extreme drought, grasshoppers naturally will gravitate towards, will congregate in areas in which there is some vegetation. And as that vegetation decreases, as the grasshoppers enjoy this vegetation, there is less and less space for the grasshoppers. And as these grasshoppers begin to rub up against one another, as the lack of vegetation increases and as space decreases, the chemistry of their brains begins to change. Their bodies, during intense drought, begin to harden, and a group mind is developed within grasshoppers. And this is the origin of migratory locusts. And when Pharaoh refuses to let the people go, when power holds on to the enslavement of others, those who used to be grasshoppers arrive in the form of locusts. When we stay together in times of intense drought and difficulty, we are transformed. We are changed. Something new is birthed. When we hold together in these seasons of intense drought and difficulty, yeah. So stay together, family. Stay together, Second Baptist Church. Stay together, Lubbock. Something new, something even small, may be birthed out of this time together. Tony Campolo tells the story that as a child, very traditionally, his teacher taught the class Aesop's fable, The Ant and the Grasshopper. I imagine you know the fable well. All summer long, the grasshopper enjoys the wonderful weather and jumping and singing. And all summer long, the ant works day and night, storing up food and shelter for winter. And as the story goes, when winter came, the grasshopper faded, and yet the ant was ready. And so the lesson of preparation and of saving had been taught to the fifth graders. And Tony Campolo says he remembers an active student in his class, we'll call it. Immediately having heard the story, this student hopped up and raised his hand and asked the teacher, "But did the ant ever jump?" What a great question. Did the ant ever jump? The Lord is enthroned above the circle of the earth, and we are invited to jump. Jump. Jump for joy. Jump together. Jump and glimpse that which is beyond ourselves, that which might be made new. And you never know. In West Texas, when you jump, you never know when the wind is blowing. We might just mount up on wings like eagles. Amen.
Will you all pray with me now? God, in 1958, you were there with us when Second Baptist Church opened its doors for the first time and walked right beside us, bringing us gifted proclaimers and dedicated laypersons to take this church into a whole new level in this city. And God, 20 years ago, you were there with us when we moved out to this location out here on the Loop to be a light into this city. And God, back in March, almost a year ago, you were with us when we were forced to close our doors in order to keep this church safe and the people within it safe. And you have proven to us that it isn't the inside of this church that is what makes things beautiful and whole. God, you have shown us that through these gifts and through these blessings that we have been given, that we can do so much outside the walls of Second Baptist Church. And I ask that as we move forward, you take these gifts that are going to be bringing in this week, Lord, and multiply them and show us what we can do in the next 20 years at Second Baptist Church. Be with these people and keep them safe and show us your love. Amen.
Like the yeast worked into the dough, like the mustard seed, like the widow's mite, like the ant and like the grasshopper, it is so good to be small. And may the enormous, endless love of God be with you always. Go in peace.